A Collection of Drabbles by Wiccanslayer, read by Wiccanslayer. Most of these drabbles are from the Stargate Atlantis fandom. There are two from the Firefly fandom and one from the Harry Potter fandom. I will start with the Stargate Atlantis drabbles. Heavenly Bodies, Macbeth, PG, 100 words. Geosynchronous orbit, that's what it was. Him, the planet, with Carson, the moon, dancing about him in the same long circular pattern, never getting too close, but never quite far enough away not to affect his tides. He wished he had the magnetism to draw his rakish little moon down to his naked planetary surface. The words Rodney and magnetism weren't exactly synonymous. They would be locked into orbit until some outside force hurtled into one of them, knocking them off course. By the way that the little Czechoslovakian asteroid kept eyeing his moon, he knew that moment wasn't far off. Obstacle course, Macbeth, G, 100 words. He stopped short with a jerk as a small man in science blue cut in front of him and began speaking to him in broken English. Something about his head hurting. He politely told him that he was off duty and that the staff in the infirmary would be more than happy to help him. He moved on. When he heard the shrill female voice calling out his name, he pretended not to hear it and ducked quickly into the nearest transporter. As he hit the screen, he sighed, and Rodney wondered why he was always late getting home. Proper Motivation, Miklinka, PG-13, 100 words. "That's not fair," Rodney whinged. "Nor is it negotiable," was the reply, thickly accented with heavy with sleep. "But I'm the head of the department. Do you know how it would look if I admitted that it was really your idea?" "You have mistakenly assumed that I care." Rodney opened his mouth, but Raddick cut him off. "It was my idea. You told Elizabeth that it was yours. This was wrong. You will either tell the truth, or you will not. It is your choice. Only correct choice gets reward." Rodney perked up and leaned into his lover's bare chest. "Reward?" The List, Macbeth, R, 100 words. Late at night, all alone in his labs, during a little sort of coffee break, Rodney McKay made himself a list on his dry erase board with his Scottish blue marker. Things I meant to do today, but didn't. 1. See Carson. 2. Make Carson smile. 3. Tell Carson that I'm completely, passionately, stupidly in love with him. 4. Kiss Carson with every ounce of love in my being. 5. Leave Carson breathless. 6. Hear Carson say he loves me too. 7. Take Carson home with me and do deliciously naughty things to him. 8. Carson. 9. Carson. 10. Carson again. Oops, Macbeth. G. 100 words. It was just something to make me smile. Once everyone was gone. I really needed it after the day that I'd had, dealing with ridiculously incompetent minions. I meant to erase it. I really did. It just got so late, and I was working on the power problem. I blame the horrid lack of anything resembling real coffee. My brain just can't function on all levels without caffeine. I just completely forgot it was there. Until I turned around and saw him standing in the doorway, staring at the dry erase board. I was mortified, tried to explain. He smiled. At Fault, Macbeth, PG, 100 words. This contains spoilers for the episode Sunday. I'll take a brief pause so you can skip this. This is all your fault, you know. You just had to be the hero, didn't you? You couldn't just let him go. Couldn't walk away and put him in the loss column. Couldn't put yourself first for a change. I know what you're thinking. I could have just gone fishing. Yes, yes, you're right. I could have. I should have. But how was I supposed to know you were going to go pull such a stupid stunt? It's all your fault. Rodney sighed and reached out his hand to run it over the cold granite. God, I miss you, Carson. New Appreciation, Macbeth, P. PG, 100 words. Filtered through shades, that's how he always preferred it. It was too harsh on his eyes, too bright, highlighting the lines on his face, too hard on his pale, sensitive skin. Artificial light was preferred, that weird, scientific, fluorescent glow. Now as he looked down at the man naked beneath him, waking with blinking eyes and a lazy smile, he had to reconsider. The way it fell through the window and made those blue Scottish pools dance and sparkle. The way it played through the bed-messed field of brown. Yes, he definitely had a new appreciation for sunlight. The view from here. Macbeth, PG, 100 words. The bed shifted. Eyes were watching him. Slowly, reluctantly, he crawled from his peaceful, happy slumber. The world was so bright around him, he blinked and saw love gazing down. He smiled. When did the sun get so bright? When did this place, this harsh and frightening world, become the home he had always wanted? He never knew that one person could rewrite the ways of everything and fill the holes in his heart. Leave it to a scientist. As he looked up into those beautiful, soft eyes, he knew he'd never see the sunlight shine on a more perfect view. Responsive. Macbeth, R, 100 words. He drugged the feather lightly over the slightly wrinkled skin and watched as the toes curled and the foot moved away slightly. He looked up to find Rodney biting his lips to keep from laughing. He gave the other man a stern look. Sorry. The offending foot came back down, and he ran the feather over it again. This time the foot stayed in place. Carson smiled. Good boy. Slowly he moved the feather up his lover's leg. Where it touched, so did his lips. The combination left goose-pimpled skin in its wake and Rodney straining against his boxers. Pillow of skin. Macbeth, PG, 100 words. He had just the right amount of fluff and firmness. He was warm and comfortable, and he smelled great, too. Rodney felt the urge to pull himself in tighter and nuzzle in a little deeper. So he did. He was rewarded with the vibrations of a soft, throaty chuckle tingling into his ears. "Shh," he mock whined. "It jiggles my head. Besides, pillows don't laugh." "Daft bugger," came the amused accent. "Love you too," he replied with a yawn. There was another chuckle, and then his pillow kissed the top of his head and wrapped him in a warm, safe embrace. At first glance, Radix, PG 13, 100 words. At first glance, you'd think he was weak. It's because he's small and mostly quiet, unless you count when he's yelling at McKay. I love to watch him yelling at McKay. He's not afraid to stand up for himself, for the things he believes in. I know his strength. I've seen it. I've felt it. I've pressed against his small body, my hands in his wild hair, and felt his strength oozing through his skin. Felt him press into me, give as good as he takes. He may not be a warrior, but he's not weak. He's never weak. What dreams may come. Macbeth, G, 100 words. It was the violent tossing and turning, more than the sobbing moans and mumbled words, that pulled Carson from his comfortable sleep. Rodney! Rodney! Wake up, love! Carson's hands shook at Rodney's shoulders, and with a harsh cry of Carson's name, the other man bolted upright, nearly knocking the medical doctor completely from the bed they shared. Carson watched as Rodney's sleep-laden eyes locked on his own face and cleared. Carson! His voice was a reverent whisper. Without warning, Rodney lunged forward and dragged Carson into a desperate embrace. Fishing! I'm taking you fishing! No backing out for me. The aftermath. SGA. G. 100 words. This contains spoilers for First Strike, so I will take a brief pause so that you can skip this. The entire remainder of the medical staff were completely occupied, most of them with Elizabeth. Ronan was ushered off into a corner somewhere to be attended to, and Taylor was hovering there, under the guise of offering assistance. This left John to attend to Rodney's wounds. The scientist was disturbingly quiet as John worked, his normally sharp blue eyes wide and hollow. When an alarm sounded from the room which held Elizabeth and several medical personnel abandoned their patients and rushed inside, Rodney stiffened. "I wish Carson were here," he whispered. John's eyes moved to the door. "Yeah, me too." Cereal means love. Macbeth, G, 100 words. Just little brightly colored O's swimming in what passed for milk. They didn't taste like much. Sugar, artificial flavor, and red number 4. He still couldn't stop grinning stupidly down at the bowl. It didn't matter that John was staring, eyebrow quirked. He'd only made the comment in passing. I really miss my morning Fruit Loops. He thought no more of it until Carson walked over to the table this morning with a wry grin and plopped the bowl down in front of him. It's just cereal, McKay. Yes, but cereal means love, Rodney mused to himself, submerging his spoon. Disappointment. Macbeth, G, 100 words. He'd promised. He'd promised more than once. He'd said that he'd go, that he was excited about going. Carson had resolved to use that time to tell him how he really felt. He'd been looking forward to getting it all off his chest. He'd daydreamed about it for weeks, seeing that face light up, hearing admissions of love in return. He hadn't looked that hard for someone to go, knew everyone would have other plans. His heart wasn't in it anymore anyway. As he lifted the small, deadly thing, all he could think was that he should be fishing with Rodney. That is the end of the Stargate Atlantis drabbles. We will now start with the Firefly drabbles. Trouble War Alliance Blue. Jane Cobb. G. 100 words. No way this could be good. Folk in Alliance uniforms never brought anything good. At least not where Mal was concerned. They usually brought a whole heap load of trouble, stirring it up till people got killed or worse. They never seemed to care none either, which, by Jane's way of thinking, made them even more dangerous. Like him. He didn't care much for people like him. Groups of people like him, even less so. He wondered briefly what that said about his self-image. It was a fleeting thought that didn't hold in his brain as the bullets started to fly. Twisted. Firefly. PG. 100 words. It was red with rage. It was dark with indifference. It was bent with madness. It had no reason but its own existence. It never lay down. It never gave up. It was fire. It was war. It was violence. It was savage desire. It was death. It was. It had no purpose but survival. It had no friends. It had no family. It had no home. It did not know fear. It did not know pain. It did not know love. It could not be contained. It made itself look like the feelings inside. Rage, blood, metal, insanity. Reaver. That is the end of the Firefly drabbles. We now move on to the Harry Potter drabble. The Unknown He. Harry Potter. G. 100 words. The final battle was over. The war had been waged and fought. The winners and losers had been chosen and marked in their appropriate columns. He stood there, on that ultimate battlefield, battered, bruised, bleeding, and exhausted. He stood triumphant. He stood victorious over his enemies. The costs had been high, but the costs had been paid. He viewed the death and destruction through slitted, weary, and suddenly completely indifferent eyes. It was done. It was over. It was finished. Everything could be as it should. The world could be set spinning on its destined path. He had won. This has been a collection of drabbles by Wiccan Slayer, read by Wiccan Slayer. The music you hear now and that you heard at the beginning is the Stargate Atlantis theme by Joel Goldsmith. Thank you for listening.